On today's show, we meet the IT crew from the Lotus F1 team to explore their implementation of Office 365. It's the middle of the race season, and all focus is first and foremost on making the car faster, so technology decisions and change management are not taken lightly. Over 20% of the workforce here is highly mobile, either racing, testing, or designing the car, or managing team logistics and operations. This is the first in the series of shows. We'll follow the IT team to explore how they are starting to tackle mobility, as well as their longer-term aspirations, including work automation and BI, in addition to file sharing. So to learn more about the operational environment of the Lotus F1 team and their technology goals for Office 365, I first met with COO Thomas Meyer.
Formula One is all about speed, agility, making better performance. Mobility is a key aspect for us. It's in the DNA of the team. We are traveling every race, so the technology has to be mobile. If it's not mobile and not supporting mobility, it is of no use for us. I mean, ultimately, we just want to make people's time more efficient and give them more time to make the car faster, because we want to have all of their attention focused on the car and making the car faster. That's the ultimate goal in the Formula One team.
So what are your aspirations with Office 365, and how do you see that playing a role in the future?
In the future, we want to use Office 365 much more in terms of using the communications possibilities we have, but also it offers us a lot of power in terms of Power BI. We can visualize all kind of technical data, because we're streaming, 200 channels on a car, and that will make our life much easier.
So lots on the shoulders of the IT team, which is around 25 to 30 people. Thomas described a performance-driven culture, so technology can't be invasive, but needs to help people speed up their daily tasks and be secure. It's been around a year since the IT team implemented the first two Office 365 workloads to around 500 users, only in a matter of a few weeks. Whereas the goal of Formula One is to shed every ounce and pound of the car, here the goal is to gradually reduce physical IT infrastructure. So we're taking a break from the day-to-day to catch up with the IT crew at Lotus F1 team. So Michael, why don't you tell us about where you got started in terms of mobility decisions?
Our organization is spread far and wide across the globe. Over 100 users travel to 20 races in 20 different countries, and they need to work remotely. It's really very simple. Our vision is to provide secure, robust access to any piece of information on any device anywhere in the world.
And where did you start in terms of your implementation?
So we actually started with email, because email is logical. Everyone lives in email still. That said, though, we did take the view that we wanted to include the facility to have presence-based information and also IM connectivity. We actually ran an on-premise solution, which was very resource-intensive, and we're quite a lean team. So it was very, very logical as a starting point to move the project forward.
I know, Dave, you've done a lot of the implementation. So where do you start there in terms of implementation?
Well, Active Directory is the first place. We've got to get the authentication worked out. It doesn't make sense for our users to have a different username and password to log on to email as it does to log on to the things on-premise, VPN, on the network here. So we looked at Active Directory Federation Services, ADFS, to see if that could solve that problem. And we found that actually that's going to add more complexity to the environment. And we'd end up adding more servers, making them highly available. And it doesn't make sense to us to have a cloud offering when it depends on something running here. So we looked at using password hash sync within the Azure Active Directory sync tool to enable password sync. It's just this checkbox down here within the tool.
So that's a standard Azure Active Directory sync. And basically what that will do is it will run every couple of hours, it will sync all your user objects from your AD up into the cloud, and also passwords as they're changed pretty much dynamically as those changes take place. So has Azure AD Sync and password hash sync really met your needs?
From my perspective, it's very, very easy to set up, as we've just seen with the demo. It's easy to keep running, mm-hmm. and it gives us the 99.9% uptime that the organization craves and needs.
So after Active Directory, did you then migrate mailboxes?
Yes, it was onto the migration stage. So previously, we were running an on-premise Exchange 2010 Service Pack 2 system. I can show you the layout here that we had. And you can see there's about 18 different components that we had to manage and look after. from the top there, we've got internal mail coming from the internet. So we've got edge transport servers. They have to handle all the hygiene. We've got reverse proxies, mobile routers to handle connectivity for external users on their mobiles. There's more hygiene, there's unified messaging, and then that's before we get to the client access servers internally on our network. The internal Outlook clients connect to those, most of the other systems do, the archiving, and then down really the core of the system is the database availability group, multiple nodes of that, and all of the associated storage connected to that to make the databases highly available. Each one of those items represents quite a significant undertaking and admin overhead for all of the IT department, making sure the backups are working, making sure replication is working without any problems. Mm-hmm. So moving to 365 really took the complexity out of the architecture.
So a huge opportunity there. How long did it take you, Michael, then to start migrating?
Well, surprisingly, it actually only took about a week. The first night we decided we would do the first set of migrations out of hours. We didn't want to impact on the data there of the users. Mm-hmm. We quickly realized it was very low impact, so we continued then live during the day migrating users.
And once you deployed, your environment then got a lot simpler, I presume, as opposed to that 18 different component environment.
Much, much simpler. This shows the solution after we'd migrated everyone to 365 and decommissioned all of the on-premise servers. Mm-hmm. So you can see there's only really four items here to look after, three of which we consider not to be critical. Mm-hmm. Only the directory sync server really is the critical part there, and that we can do without for a short length of time if we need to, so that it doesn't, if we have downtime here at the factory, we don't impact on our users at a race.
So what are the things that got easier?
Well, the amount of time that we have to look after everything Exchange related now has gone from hours a week down to maybe half an hour at the most. With the latest admin tool from Office 365, we can log in, we can take a look at all the health status of the service at the moment, and we can even go in and edit some of the users on our mobiles while we're out and about.
Really great compliment to the Active Directory synchronization and the password hash sync.
Yes, definitely. It makes it very seamless.
So, Michael, how did users react to the changes with Office 365?
The main thing is that the technology didn't get in the way of the users.
So it's definitely a big improvement. We don't have to worry about storage. With the amount of emails we get, again, because it's 24/7, as you can imagine, the hardest thing was hitting the 1 gig limit. We were spending probably an hour to an hour and a half a week clearing everything out. Now that we've moved on and we don't have to do that, I can obviously keep more information, which makes my job a lot easier.
You know, they're able to continue working in exactly the same way as they have before. They just don't know that their messaging storage is now based in the cloud somewhere out in the wider world, and they can access everything they need wherever they are. In terms of things like OWA, the compatibility and the usability improvements from 2010 through to 2013 have gone down really, really well. That combined with the mobile apps, iOS and Android, that's really brought mail to life on those devices.
And how do you manage mobile devices?
Well, we issued Lumia 1520s to all our traveling staff, and they use those as their device. But we actually found very quickly that all of our staff come from a technical background, and they started making better use of all of the other types of devices, Android, iOS. And we actually can run PowerShell commands to get that kind of information and see what people are using. Using the get mobile device commandlet. So I've got a connection here to our tenant already. So here is the raw file. There's the CSV output from the PowerShell. From there, we can make use of Excel. And here we can look at actually a breakdown of all the different types of device.
Now, I know this move to mobile really helps in terms of some of the immediacy around communications, but let's switch gears a little bit to Skype for Business, because a lot of people here are using that too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone in the organization is enabled for Skype for Business. Initially, for presence-based reporting and instant messaging. We've obviously expanded that into using live meetings and those types of good things. The future, though, of the solution is very much around enterprise voice. We've already started an extended pilot within the IT department. Our vision is very, very simple. Remove the desk phone from all of our users.
So, Dave, how did you implement Skype for Business, then? What did that deployment look like?
Well, for us, this is really a hybrid setup at the moment. And the great thing about Skype for Business is it comes with a planning tool. So we can just plumb in the information that we want, so the number of users and all the types of features we want. And that will go away and work out the best kind of topology that is recommended for us. At the end of that, this will output a diagram of all of the infrastructure you need to make that work.
I know you've set some policies as well around, for example, being able to protect attachments and link conversations. So those you can manage as well.
Yes, that's very important to us, and through the different policies in there, we can say whether you can use file attachments or send files to each other according to the location that you're currently in.
So how does all this then link with your mobile devices and mobile clients?
So for all of our mobile users, they automatically have the link client installed on their mobile devices. Mm-hmm. It makes a huge difference for them. Like one click to join a meeting. Right. Gone are the days of having to dial into a conference bridge and then enter participant codes right. and passcodes,
good
things
riddance.
Like that. Yeah, effectively it opens up a whole new way for people to connect.
One of the things we've started doing is using it as a real-time communication between the engine people and the guy putting the fuel man, we call him, the guy who puts the fuel in the car at the end of each run. In the past, we've had problems with the noise, and we used to do it audio over radio, and there's been some miscommunication. So what we actually do now is the engineer will Skype for business, write down the fuel amounts, that will be confirmed back. And we've had no problems since we started doing that.
Whenever there is a problem, the guys can click, have an instant video call on hand. It's mobile, they can walk with the tablet, they can video the problematic part, they can put an endoscope and show the videos to their colleagues at the factory. It's in fact instant, it's a great value for us.
There's so much going on, and to have something just flash up, it's just simplified everything incredibly.
I know it's been really great progress in terms of what you've done so far with Link and with Exchange Online, but where are you looking to move next?
The next phase for us is how we can roll out OneDrive for Business, how we can utilize the new features, the new management and compliance control tools. We're really excited to see the new device management features, which are now coming to OneDrive.
How about beyond OneDrive? Are you looking at other stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. We're already looking at how we can automate work processes and leverage the platform that is Office 365. On top of that, naturally, our leadership are already looking at Power BI for reporting purposes. So there's a very exciting journey ahead of us.
On our next visit to the Lotus F1 team, we'll join them for their journey to enabling secure file sync and share. Until next time, goodbye for now.